And once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. The previous program was The Gary Doan Show, heard Monday through Monday through Friday at noon. It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't touch that dial, WBAI. You're tuned into The Positive Mind. And yes, today we have something completely different for you. Something completely different. A little change of tone, a little change of tune. There's been a lot of gloom and doom out there. And today we're here to bring you something a little bit more uplifting. So stick around. Don't turn off your stream. Don't turn off that dial. Check it out, because today we're going to talk about something critically important to all people. Right, Kevin?
I believe so, Ben. It is the end of August, and it is a good time to do what we're talking about.
Okay, so check this out, right? Kevin and I were watching a documentary about New York City in the 40s and 50s. And what was the number one difference that we noticed between New York City in the late 40s and mid-50s and today? Well, okay, so yes, the cars look different, people were dressed differently, right? But if you updated the aesthetics, what was the number one difference that we noticed?
Kids were not outside playing.
That's right. When we looked at this old documentary showing footage of New York and all the neighborhoods, whether it was Uptown or Brooklyn or the Bronx, all these different places, the one thing that they all had in common was that you would see giant groups of children, 30 or 40 kids in some cases at a time, out in the streets, playing tag, playing stickball, playing hide-and-go-seek, right? Kids from every background and every social class. This was a common shared experience that we don't see. It's not as visible in today's day and age. And we thought it would be really good to address that and address the importance of play, right? I mean, sure, you can learn all the supplements that you need to take, all the exercises that you need to do to feel better physically. But there's some real simple things that we can all do to feel better mentally and feel better emotionally. And starting really with play.
Yes.
It's such an important thing, Kevin. And we did some research, we found some interesting things, and we thought today would be a great opportunity to talk to people about why something so simple as slowing down to play, and a very specific type of play, can make all the difference for our emotional and spiritual well-being.
Absolutely, Ben. And it starts with mothers. As we were talking last week about shyness and attachment, it starts with mothers. Mothers are reporting that when they were kids, more than 80% of them played outdoors. Outdoors. And over 60% of them said they played outdoors for more than 3 hours when they went outside and played. Now when they report on their own children, they're saying 30% are going outdoors to play. And they're going out much less time. They're not spending 3 hours out there. About 20% are spending more than 3 hours outdoors.
And if you're someone out there with children, think about the difference between the way that you used to play and how you see your children play.
Yeah, how are children playing nowadays? What are they doing? I mean, everybody knows the answer. I mean, they're playing with a video game. They're playing by themselves on a seat in their house or in their apartment. And, you know, they're playing a game, or they're on the subway playing. And everybody's doing it. I mean, everybody is playing with their electronics. But, you know, it's causing a crisis, really, for people. Just as much as outdoor play has gone down, mental health issues have gone up drastically in proportion to the absence of outdoor play and play in general. Anxiety, depression, helplessness, narcissism are all reported to have gone up. In many cases, I think in all of them actually, 85%. It's an 85% in the article that we're reading from 1955 to the present. 85% of people report a higher level of anxiety, depression, helplessness, and narcissism.
So while we noticed this was the big difference, when we looked at footage of New York City in the 40s and 50s, the biggest difference that jumped out at Kevin and I was the presence of large groups of children playing in the street.
Yeah.
That was the biggest difference we saw by far, right? Besides the aesthetic differences,
sure.
Right? Of course, the cars looked older. People were dressed differently.
Well, are there any photographs of kids currently playing outdoors? Really, on the streets.
And on the flip side of that, we wanted to talk today about how play can be hugely beneficial to adults, right? And the difference and the impact that it can make on our emotional well-being. I mean, starting, Kevin, with stress relief.
Sure.
Very simply, play is fun, right? It triggers the release of endorphins. That's our natural feel-good chemical that we secrete in the brain. So these endorphins, when we find a safe and healthy way to get them and to release them, they give us that sense of well-being. They give us that sense of stress relief.
Let's talk about not competing, because I think endorphins might get more release during unstructured play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, playing football or baseball or something with a goal to win, and depending on your aggression level, it can be really important. We're talking really about play that isn't worried about the outcome. You're not competing to try and win a goal. I think endorphins get released more when the game or the play is sort of unstructured. For instance, dancing. Right? Dancing is a kind of play. You're playing, moving your body, and you're just doing it spontaneously and rhythmically in whatever way you're inspired to do it. The endorphin level that goes up when people come off of a dance floor, I mean, you can see it, right? As opposed to a football game or a baseball game or a basketball, standard competitive sports. So I think, Ben, when we talk about play, we want to talk about free-flowing play, not competitive play. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Positive Mind, you are tuned into WBAI at 99.5 FM on your dial and online, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worldwide. We're talking about the benefits of play and specifically how you as an adult can benefit from taking some time, slowing down, right, taking a break, and allowing yourself to play in an unstructured way, in a creative, flowing way. So not only is it, like I mentioned, not only does play relieve stress, but play can actually help us improve our brain function, something that many of us have an eye on as we age and we want to stay sharp mentally. We want to make sure that our brain is firing on all cylinders. Well, you know something? Play helps prevent memory problems, right? Challenging our brain and the social interaction of playing with others.
You're constantly adjusting when you're playing. Right? I mean, it's not like work or on a computer where you're targeting some outcome. With play, you're constantly adjusting. So your brain is doing like micro analyses and micro adjustments to each situation. And it's pleasurable. You're doing it in a fun way. So it's important that play, be something we understand play and its benefits to the mind because of this rapid firing that happens with play. And the more unpredictable play, the better, Ben. The more stimulating it will be and actually the more beneficial for the brain.
Sure, and it actually makes us more creative, Kevin. Because through a lot of types of play, we wind up problem solving, which lead us to be more creative, right? It stimulates our imagination.
Sure.
Helps us problem solve and in turn helps us develop our social skills. Especially if we're playing with others.
Yeah, and that's one thing we're noticing, that kids are not playing with others. I mean, we call it outdoor play. If you're going outdoors to play, you're naturally going to gravitate to other kids to play with. But we're finding kids are not getting outdoors to play. And so they're not engaging with others socially to play. So the benefits socially, and last week we talked about shyness.
Right, and I was just going to say that, Kevin, in light of the research that we did on that.
Yeah.
And the whole show that we did in that. I mean, I wonder how linked these are.
I think they're very linked. I mean, we said that often shyness can be the product of an attachment, and we talked about the four different types of attachment. And you can listen to the podcast or go listen to the archive on that show about the four different types of attachment style. But basically, there's a secure attachment and then the other three, which is an avoidant or an anxious attachment, an ambivalent attachment, or a disorganized attachment. Basically, with children who didn't have the kind of parenting or caretaking that they needed. And so they didn't learn to explore as much as secure attachments. And that's the word, explore. When a child has a nice, secure attachment, the mother lets the child go and explore. It's encouraging. The mother's encouraging the child to explore. And so the child knows he always has a safe home base to come back to. So we want our children to explore, and we want them to go outdoors. And, I mean, we remember as kids, that's the great thing about kids outdoors. They're exploring. You know, they're interacting with the environment, with the concrete, you know, the grass, the dirt, the cars, the metal, you know, the smells, everything. They're interacting. So this is really the kind of play that really is healing for people. And so we realize that shyness can get worse when a child is not forced to come out of their shell. And one thing playing outdoors does is it equalizes. All children are the same on the playing field. And it makes them come out of their shell. It helps them. So we talked about some things that people can do as adults to come out of their shyness. And we said chit-chat, learning how to just talk, change your body language, right? There's a certain body language to shyness. And when you just change your posture and your smile or your face, you know, you'll ready yourself for more social interaction. And we talked about adding confidence or going out of your comfort zone, picking areas where you can challenge your comfort zone. Well, play now is another option, you know. Play is, you know, I tell people when they come here to the center, you know, sometimes I tell couples, take a salsa class together, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk, you know. So much of therapy and, you know, is talk. And, take a salsa class. Go and have fun together somewhere where you don't even need to have to talk. You just let the game play design what you need to do with each other.
And set aside some time, right, each day. Even if you have a job that has long hours and it's mundane and it's boring, even more importantly then for you to set aside some time to give yourself that 5, 10, 15 minutes here and there of play, whatever it is, right? Use your lunch break to do some word puzzles. I mean, something that simple.
Mm. Mm.
It's really important. Involve your coworkers. You know, there's I know someone who goes and actually has a basketball at work, and on his lunch break, he goes down and shoots some hoops.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
They let him do that.
He's got a 30-minute lunch break.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He eats and then shoots 20 minutes of hoops.
Right.
And he says it makes all the difference in the world for him at work.
Yeah.
In the second half of the day.
Right.
Having just that 20 minutes of release of play.
Mm-hmm.
And he started taking his other coworkers down with him.
Great.
They got curious. They asked him,
uh-huh,
where do you go every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a competition. He's going just out there to shoot balls himself and get the satisfaction of it going in or not, you know.
But think about it this way, Kevin. Being successful, right, is not predicated on the gross number of hours that we worked, right? It's the quality of work that we put in while we were at work.
Hmm.
So, you know, just because someone's sitting at a desk for 12 hours doesn't mean that they're doing better work, higher quality work,
yeah,
than the person who's sitting there for eight
hours.
I
think that's why Google, you know, these companies now have incorporated play. And I think it's required, Ben, for play breaks. And their productivity goes up the more they play. And so, you know, the compound at Google is like you can take a, you know, a golf cart somewhere during your workday and go somewhere and play with others.
Right.
You know, so they're, you know, companies are realizing how important this idea of play is. What's happening?
And as a result, they're getting more out of their employees, right? Happier people,
yep,
do better work.
And longer employed.
Yeah.
You know,
and
they won't leave. They'll stay with the company.
We can take these lessons for our own selves. And I think certainly that, you know, employers and in other firms and companies could realize that, you know, encouraging people to take regular breaks, encouraging creativity and social interaction among employees creates a better integrated, happier, more satisfied and socialized workforce who does better work.
We're going to do things different today. We're going to take calls now.
Let's do
it. What do you say? I mean, do you get to play at your workplace? Do you take a break during the day and play? Have you found a healthy, balanced way to integrate play into your workday or into your life in general? How about weekends? You know, are you playing at all on weekends? Weekends are a gift, right? I mean, a lot of people in a lot of countries don't get weekends. And their time off is, you know, spent sleeping or caretaking or doing menial tasks. We have weekends. And are you using any of that time to play? And, I mean, I don't think going to a movie is play, really.
I like the question you asked, Kevin, and we'd love to hear your answer. Give us a call, 212-757-5555. Kevin, you asked, have people out there as adults found a healthy way to integrate play into their lives?
Yeah.
I think that's what you...
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So let us know. Have you as an adult been able to strike that balance and integrate play into your life? Let us know how you've done it. Hmm. If you've been able to do that, and the benefits that it's provided to you. We believe that it's pretty critically important. I don't know. How do you play, Kevin? I know that you recently, you took a few days and went out of town.
I got on a bicycle for the first time in a long time. I went out to Greenport, Long Island.
You biked out there?
No. I drove out there, but, you know, the roads are so smooth
out
there. And we had bicycles. People had bicycles where we were staying. And I took a bike out just, you know, 3 nights. And it was wonderful, Ben. I mean, have you swirled a bicycle tire in a long time? I mean, not driving straight. I mean, this is part of where I came up with this idea of play, you know, aside from the documentary. But I just sort of shimmied around on the bicycle with no particular direction or place to go. I just, you know, was enjoying the night air. And, you know, it really felt like play. Oh, let me go down this street. Let me go down. So I didn't really give myself the chore of exercising and using the bike ride as a way to get healthier. Although I'm sure it did, you know, it did a little bit. But that was my recent play. I also have a Spalding ball in my office, you know. So I use a Spalding ball here at the center and, you know, I'll try and do certain repetitions with it. Again, try not to be goal-oriented with it. But, you know, I love the sound of the ball, a Spalding ball. And I do, I dance a little bit. How about you? What do you do?
Yeah, the way I like to do it, Kevin, is just to really get away. And even if that's just to get out of town for one day.
Right.
You know, and go upstate or just generally somewhere where I can be more in tune with nature. That's how I do it personally. Mm.
I think getting outside in nature also is a good remedy for shyness, believe it or not. Because, you know, nature is populated. I mean, nature is expansive and big and something that you are small within. And you're communing really with nature. And when you're outdoors, you know, you're visible to people. You're a target. People can come up to you if you're outside in nature. So, you know, one of these things about shyness is get outside. Get outdoors. You know, be visible. Get a place where people can come to you.
212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from you, hear about how you've been able to integrate play into your life as an adult. And if you've been able to strike that balance, if it's worked for you. We certainly have known people who have gone too far into play, Kevin. And, you know, they say all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy, but, you know, all play and no work means Johnny can't pay the bills either, so... There's definitely a balance to strike.
Oh, sure.
And yet we're looking at a lot of research here that shows that play as an adult carries a whole host of benefits. And certainly, you know, a little bit later on in the show, we are going to talk about how children benefit from play, right, in the socialization process and in the growth process. But we want to specifically address you adults out there and see how you've been able to use play to improve your life.
And we want to get a list, you know. I mean, we'd love to be able to send it out to all of New Yorkers, even on the web posted on our blog, you know, what it is that people have come up with in this big city of ours on how to play, where to find play. Where are you not competing, but you're enjoying yourself? Let's do it that way. Where are you not trying to make more money and you're not competing, but you're learning, you know, you're enjoying yourself? I mean, playing, real play.
Well, you know, in a place like New York, Kevin, I think there's more opportunity than not to play. I mean, just joking around with strangers, you know, and spending time, you know, being social. And I think that's something that has often been lost for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean,
especially in a big city, people are afraid to socialize and be silly with others.
Be silly. I mean, obviously the social situation a lot of people find themselves are in, you know, environments where they're drinking alcohol or they're in, you know, a bar, a sports bar or something, doing a sporting event. And that's not what we're talking about. I mean, yes, that's socialization, but, you know, it's really not the unknown or the unpredictable that play often has. Play has an element of the unknown in it. You don't know how it's going to develop.
Let's take a quick phone call. We have Nora on the line. Hello. Hello.
Nora, call us back.
Nora, give us a call back.
Okay.
212-757-5555 is the number to call.
Call us back, Nora. Yeah, we're really eager to hear about this. I mean, we could come up with our own list, but we wanted to hear from you today. People, it's August. It's the end of, have you played this summer? Did you do anything to play? I mean, yes, you had your vacation, but, I mean, did you get a chance for yourself to really enjoy the workings of your own mind outdoors or even indoors, but outdoors in general? Have you gotten out there to play? And tell us what it does for you. You know, you can. We have all this research in the world, all the science in the world, but to hear from you telling us what play has done for you will really benefit a lot of people.
We have a caller named Cody on the line. Cody, you there? Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You sound like a guy who plays.
I do actually. During the week after work. Well, currently I'm stuck in Queens traffic, trying to rip out my hair. But after work, me and my buddies, we meet up and we play a game of Frisbee.
Wow, there it is.
I haven't seen many people play Frisbee for a long time, and to me and my friends, we just have one heck of a time. So that's what I do after work, but truly on the weekends, I love hiking, love getting out into nature. So going upstate, up to like maybe the Catskills for an hour and a half drive, 2 hour drive.
Right.
It makes a whole world of a difference for your week.
It really, for me, at least. Yeah, it really, really does, right? I mean, have you missed weekends and times when you weren't playing and you noticed a difference?
It really does. It actually changes my week. If I don't get out and I don't experience something on the weekend specifically, I kind of feel down a little bit during the week. But that's why I compensate with either playing Frisbee or riding my bike. That's it. And handball, you got to bring up all these old classic games that I never see anyone play ever anymore. No children.
Is there a part of it, Cody, that reconnects you to what it felt like to be a kid, that sense of wonder and possibility with your friends?
Oh, all the time. I mean, it even makes the bonds with your friends. And even just, I met random people just on Sunday playing Frisbee, and they said they had a great time. Well, that's amazing. I'm happy I made that person's day better, and I hope that they continue playing Frisbee or whatever sport they enjoy.
Yeah, and you know something, I also couldn't agree with you more about the idea of just getting up to the Catskills. And when you think about it, there's a whole range of places that are within an hour or two of the city. You can go to the Catskills, you can go to the Poconos, you can go to the Hudson Valley. There's a whole bunch of places that are really accessible that where you can also really just kind of reconnect and reset.
Go to the beach.
Or even the beach. Yeah.
Yeah. How old are you, Cody?
I'm 24.
24.
But I just want to let whoever's listening know that I'm not trying to broadcast for a company, but you can go to the company REI, and they have a huge selection of trail maps.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
And it's very inexpensive. They're waterproof, extremely light, and very detailed, which is wonderful. I've done so many hikes up in the Catskills, just the Hudson Highlands.
And I guess you could play just at picking one randomly, right? Not planning ahead of time and just picking one out when you get up there and say, okay, here we go.
Exactly. If you're just in the area, there's unlimited amounts of places that you can go.
Cody, keep calling us, okay? We got another caller coming in. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you
too. Take care.
Thank you.
Buy a frisbee. So, yeah, you know, there you go. So there
frisbee,
you go.
Frisbee after work and hiking on the weekends. I love it.
Yeah, and for shyness, too. He says he meets a lot of people with frisbees. I wonder what the frisbee sales are these days, you know? It's definitely changed, right, Ben?
Probably.
I mean, I think.
It must have.
Yeah. Although where I was, we had a frisbee, and we played out there, but yeah.
212-757-5555. That's the number to call. 212-757-5555. We are talking about play, and we're wondering if you, as an adult, have been able to integrate play into your life in a healthy and balanced way. And if so, how have you done it, and how has it affected you? Do we have Nora back on the line?
Nora, is that you?
Hi, am I on the air?
Yeah,
you're on the air.
Thanks for calling us back.
Hi, this is Nora. I liked very much your show. I liked the beginning, comparing the 40s and the children playing in the streets as compared to now. I used to teach nursing in the day high school. Very stressful job.
Yes.
I'm a nurse. I'm an RN. I used to come home, and I used to do any kind of exercise that was available in place and time. I used to walk, go outside. I used to walk actually part of the way home. Mm. I would go to the city parks, and I still do, and take a Zumba class.
Right.
I go to a private gym. I remember running before dark down a street. I was so frustrated. I just got out of the house and ran down a street and exercised that way. And then when I got back, and usually what I do is make a nutritious meal with a lot of vegetables, and I make more for the next day to bring for lunch. And all of that would just relax me.
Yeah.
You know, this is apart from meditation, which I would also suggest, but this was something was a routine, and it really helped me cope.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So you give yourself a nice reward with a meal after all that running and getting rid of all that stress in your life.
I would make a nutritious meal for the family.
Oh.
And just doing that, I would relax, and I would take the time. And I, like I tell some people, you know, you can freeze your food, too, if you make like a stew or a chili or something. Just freeze it in little containers and then just make rice or make a sauce and make rice, something that's nutritious.
So cooking can be fun also, right? I mean, there's a certain kind of play that you could have in cooking, just, you know, be spontaneous and add things and be creative.
Particularly if you have the radio on and you're listening to WBI or you're listening to music.
Nora, you're great. We're going to want you to keep calling us, okay?
Take care now. Thank you.
Thank you. So she's added to our list. Get outside, though. I mean, that's what she's telling people. Get outside. She had a very stressful job. I wanted to ask her if she noticed the lack of play in kids, any change over the years. Because there has been a dramatic decrease in kids' play over the years. And a different type of play also, Ben. You know, I mean, now people complain about their kids' structured lives, going to soccer games, taking the kids here for that tournament, this competition. This is called extrinsic goal playing. You know, there's a goal to it. You're trying to get somewhere.
Well, we're coming up on the break, Kevin, but let's try to take one more quick caller. I think we have Janice on the line. You there, Janice?
Yes, I am.
Hi, thanks for calling in.
Hello.
You're welcome. First of all, I love you guys. You're awesome.
Thank you.
We love you, too.
Good to have you.
Yes, about play, well, I love to play. I'm a, you know, Toys R Us kid type mom, grandma, and I encourage people to bring the chalk, you know, you go get chalk, and I normally go to Dollar Tree all the time during the summer, and I buy the bulk of chalk, and I do the hopscotch still.
Oh, hopscotch.
Yes.
That's a good one. And
Janice, that's terrific.
Yes, I mean, it's so much fun. My sisters and I, you know, we're all over 50, so the laughter, the adrenaline, and, you know, still trying to be a child again is so much fun.
Yeah.
And we also tried Double Dutch.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
And you're all laughing together, right? I mean, you're having,
always,
you know? And you're not competing. I mean, well, maybe there's a little competition. You have sisters, so there's definite competition.
Yes. And, but I really, you know, because I guess we do have a very close knit family, and we had the hula hoops and everything. So I'm the youngest of the four older girls.
Okay.
So I like to always reminisce and bring up the stuff we used to do. And so, you know, I buy chalk, I buy the big bottles of bubbles, you know, and for my grandchildren to run around. So I love to play, and there's so many inexpensive things you can do. Like I say, I'm always at Dollar Tree, and I buy all these awesome items for a dollar. And
so as the youngest, you're always bringing the family together. You're always keeping us all together.
Oh, yes. That's always my goal, because, you know...
Yeah.
That's weird, you know, and plus, you know, we played at that time. We didn't have smart boards
laptops. And Janice, listen, I want to thank you so much for calling us. We're coming up on the break, so we'll be back after this. But do keep calling us and stay tuned in, okay?
I sure will.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Janice.
O que é que deu errado? Onde que desandou? Pra onde foi a alma e a de nosso amor? Não é nenhuma análise, é só um apelo de quem viveu de perto a dor. A gente sofre, a gente explica, mas não resolve, só complica. A mente desespera e o coração não espera. Se a gente vai ficar maluco por amor, é bem melhor que seja dois, pois sendo só é bem pior. É, deita, pensa no amanhã. Pensa, se deita em meu divã. Deita, pensa no amanhã. É, pensa, se deita em meu. Mas não é papo de psicólogo, não. Eu só quero entender. É, se um grande amor termina, a gente se preocupa em saber por quê. O que é que deu errado? Onde que desandou? Pra onde foi a alma e a alegria daquele amor? Não é nenhuma análise, é só um apelo de quem viveu de perto a dor. A gente sofre, a gente explica, mas não resolve, só complica. A mente desespera e o coração não espera. Se a gente vai ficar maluco por amor, é bem melhor que seja dois, pois sendo adeus é bem pior. É bem pior. Pensa no amanhã, pensa, se deita em meu divã, deita, pensa no amanhã, é, pensa, se deita em meu divã, deita, pensa no amanhã.
A little playful music for you right there here on WBAI. It's Jarzinho Oliveira with Papo de Psicólogo. And we heard that earlier today. We thought it was so playful and so just full of loving and wonderful energy. We wanted
to get up? Did you get up on your feet?
Yeah. We're going to take a quick call before we move on,
sure.
I think. We have John on the line. John, can you hear us?
Yes, hello.
Hey, John.
Good. Hey.
How are
you? I'm doing great. The best thing to do, right, to experience change and to be one with nature and to be one with a lot of people is to try a triathlon where you run, swim, and bike.
Oh.
It's a race. It doesn't have to be competitive, but it's a race, and it's a great time. You go, you start, you run, and then you go and you swim, and you come out, and you change into your bike gear, and you're riding your bike.
That's right.
You're running.
I remember.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best experience ever. I recommend for everybody to try once, maybe.
I agree with you. Did you wear a shirt that had any writing on it when you were doing the running part or the biking part? And did people call out your name? Because did people call out your name? Go, John.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they try to read the bib over there and say what your name is. Some people put funny things, funny gestures. It's a good time, man.
I think it's a great idea. I remember when I ran the New York Marathon, I was wearing a shirt that had some writing on it. And when I was down, like at the mile 15, I was barely making it. And people kept saying, go chock full of nuts, go chock full of nuts, you know, go guy, you know, really picked me up. And it was a great experience, a great cultural experience seeing people.
Oh, we lost John.
We lost him. Did you ever run the marathon?
I never did,
but
no.
It's a great experience. And I agree with him. It can be very playful if you're in good enough shape to do it.
I've been the guy on the sidelines, you know, cheering on the marathon runners, but I never ran it myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked, Kevin, in the first half of the program about the benefits of play for adults. What about the decrease in play that we've seen? Because we started the show by talking about how, you know, you and I, we had been watching some YouTube footage of old New York, right? New York in the 40s and 50s. And just to recap, what had jumped out at us was the main difference is that today there's a real lack of large groups of kids playing in the streets unsupervised.
Yeah.
So back then, you had all the kids in the whole neighborhood would get together, right? Sometimes 20, 30, 40 kids at a time.
Mm.
And these were, we saw footage of all kinds of neighborhoods all over the city, from the Bronx to Uptown to Brooklyn, all over the place. And the one consistent thing was large groups of children outside playing, something that we don't really see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do see it, the kids are inevitably wearing some kind of uniform and being chaperoned by an adult.
Yeah.
And it's very organized.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kevin? Do you think that did the world really change that much? You know what I mean?
What I'm getting at is
have things gotten so much crazier? Has society gotten so much more dangerous since the 40s and 50s that's why, you know, parents aren't allowing their kids out? I mean, what is the root of this? Why aren't we seeing kids engaging in this kind of play anymore?
I think it's a great question. First of all, I don't think kids are any more a target now, and statistically they're not, than they were in the 1930s and 40s. You know, I think a lot of parents are concerned if they let their kids go out of the house that they're susceptible to some kind of danger. And the fact is that that's even less of a case now than it was in the 40s and 50s. This is statistically proven. What's different is that everything is advertised. It's all on the news. If a kid is attacked or, you know, in danger, it's the news outlets hear about it and everybody hears about it.
It's sensationalized.
Yeah. So I think people have a reaction to what's going on in the media, parents, mothers. And so there's this sense of danger out there, but I don't think the world has really gotten that much dangerous. I mean, in fact, New York City is less dangerous than it was 30, 40 years ago, much less dangerous. So I don't think it's danger, but crazier, I think emotionally compromised. I think the family structures and the regularity, we talked about attachments, but I think the change in family life has breeded a lot of emotional issues. Parents can often be so busy.
The increased divorce rate or what specifically?
I think the increased divorce rate, both parents working, children on their own much more often, less engagement even in your own home. Parents are often not as engaged with their kids as they were a while back. Or if they are engaged, they're engaged in a different way with targeted goals, focusing their child on achieving things. So, you know, there's not this secure randomness of family life, I think, that has created a kind of emotional vacuum and is making a lot of kids really struggle. I mean, the suicide rate alone, Ben, has gone up since the 50s. It's quadrupled.
Among children.
Among kids 15 or younger. And it's doubled among kids 16 to 24. Doubled. And there's an 85% increase in anxiety and depression and narcissism. Now, narcissism, some people think narcissism is like high self-esteem, but it's really not. We as clinicians know that it's a fragile, insecure sense of greatness or grandiosity for yourself that really is betraying a kind of deep insecurity. And kids are more narcissistic these days, believing that they can do certain things, achieve a lot of things, and they're being encouraged to achieve. So the inflation helps them think that they're going to achieve. But there's this tremendous letdown when a person gets a sense of proportion as to who they really are. So there's an increase in narcissism, an increase in helplessness. Just in the 60s, I mean, college kids in the 60s felt like they were in control of their lives. 80% voted, you know, said that they were felt a sense of control over their lives. Now it's under 30%. Feel like things are too big for me to negotiate and manage. The world is too complex for me to be able to design my own way in life. So this is a big change, and this is bound to create emotional and mental problems. So I don't think we've gotten more dangerous as a society, and I wouldn't call it craziness. I would just think there's emotional issues.
And I think there's a mass tendency to withdraw, certainly with the technologies that have been available to us, Kevin. We've often talked on the show about how technology and the connections that were created by email and social media and the internet were supposed to actually reduce our working hours and increase our interpersonal connections.
Yeah.
They were supposed to make us less reliant on working all the time and more interconnected. And in a lot of ways, ironically, they've had the reverse effect.
Yeah.
Right? They've made people more beholden than ever to their jobs, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what.
Yeah.
And they've made people increasingly isolated. And I'm an 80s baby, and I was a 90s kid, so I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I think I was the last generation that really, really did play outside, because I was the last generation that grew up before the entire reality of and fabric of reality was turned inside out by the internet.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember what it was to play outside and being allowed to be out until the sun went down and then I had to be home. Right. I mean, that is a vivid recollection of mine. And kids just a little bit younger than me didn't have that experience.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that is just my own personal anecdotal experience, but I do think that the internet and video games had a huge impact on what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think routinely back in your day, my day also, mothers said, get out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, when you got home from school, get out. You know, I don't think they're saying that now. So I think we're seeing, you know, the results of that. And when we did some shows on loneliness, we said that in the 80s, only 20% of people, you know, reported themselves as feeling lonely. And that in 30 years has jumped up 20 more percent. It's now 40%. So this internet and this electronics and all these things that could feasibly help people feel more connected is really making people feel less connected. So
you know what I'd like to do, Kevin, is here in the second half of our program today is just sort of change the question that we're posing to listeners and really asking parents out there, parents of children, how do you encourage and foster a sense of play in your children? How have you been able to do that? And, you know, certainly the differences that we've been talking about here, what are the differences that you see between what your experience of play was and what it is for your children?
Yeah.
Have you tried to provide similar experiences to your children? Does it frustrate you when your children don't want to experience that outdoor, free-flowing play? Let us know. 212-757-5555. We really like to hear from parents of children how you've been able to foster a sense of play among your children. And on the flip side, if we have some younger listeners today, some kids, some teenagers tuned in, tell us, how have you incorporated play into your childhood? We want to hear from everyone. So 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We do have about 15 minutes, so we'd love to hear from a few more listeners.
As we wait, I'm going to read some of the samples from this study between 1946 and 1989. And it's the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, a classic table, a scale that therapists use to measure personality and mental health issues. And in 1948, I wake up fresh and rested most mornings. 14 to 60-year-olds, 74.6% reported, I wake up fresh and rested most mornings. In 1989, 31.3% answered that. Do you wake up fresh and rested most mornings?
No, I don't.
That's really honest.
Yeah. No, I didn't wake up fresh and rested today.
Yeah.
I can tell you the truth.
Right. Yes, I know. I don't either. I didn't either. So, but I do have many days where I wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Rested. But
I just don't know if I would say most days.
Yes, I wouldn't say most. How about I woke up under a great deal of tension? In 1948, 16% said, yes, I wake up feeling a great deal of tension. 14 to 16-year-olds. Now it's 41%, 41.6%. 212-757-5555. Let's have answers for these kids, ways for them to get outdoors and play. Not indoors, but outdoors, social play, right? Play with others. We know in the animal kingdom, right, animals that play together, mature and bond and function as a group and survive. But those that don't play, those that are deprived of play in the animal kingdom, have very aggressive tendencies. They react to stress exorbitantly differently than those with that do learn to play. They have emotional outbursts. They're angry. And it wouldn't be a stretch to see that happening to children, too, that if they don't get socialization, if they're not having social play, that you're going to have an anxious child.
Well, it's a huge part of the socialization process, Kevin, and you think about it. I mean, what is the bulk of elementary school beyond learning basic skills like how to read and how to spell basic words and how to do very basic arithmetic, right? Beyond those basic skills, what is the true purpose of elementary school? We're not really educating kids on a lot of intellectual things. In elementary school, what are we really educating these children in? Is we're educating them socially, how to interact, how to be in the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How to conduct themselves in groups and whatnot.
Right. And in retrospect, that's what I think when you look back on your middle school years, your elementary school years, you realize the benefit of going was mostly the socialization and the friends that you made.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So... So obviously schools, homeschooling is a big movement too, but I think the danger and threat in homeschooling is that the child is not being exposed socially to others. And is the child, homeschooling is great if it's not necessarily always goal oriented. I mean, you're learning for learning's sake. And when you're isolated like that in homeschooling, the danger is that the education becomes something where you're trying to get ahead or create a foundation for the child that they can be successful in the world.
Let's take a quick call. We have Ronald on the line. You there, Ronald?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ronald.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, hi. I just wanted to say that to a great degree, playing is a means for you to feel the strength and skills that you have or realize them for the first time,
How are you playing these days?
Pardon?
How are you playing? Do you exercise your skills during play?
Well, that's one thing that is disabling to a great degree. When you get sick, or when you get older, I wouldn't necessarily say older, but when you get sick, and you're not able to move about and feel your strength. So in a way, playing is a means for you to feel your skills and your strength without the threat.
I love
that is inherent in man from the beginning of time.
That's a great point. Yeah, good way to feel safe and explore what we're able to do in a safe way.
Yeah, you learn how to socialize, even though you might be in a competitive condition, without the rising of. But if you go for a long time without sensing what the power in your life, especially if you've ever had any type of doubt, which everybody, naturally inherently you know, comes across in daily life, in the course of one's life. So playing is a great thing that kids nowadays don't do that much. When I was a kid, we had a million games.
Yeah.
Johnny on the Pony, Hot Beans and Butter, Ringo Livio, Checker. I mean, we had a season for everything.
You know, right. Listen, I'm so happy that you said that, Ronald, and I want to thank you for calling in, and I appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you, Ronald. But Kevin and I were actually debating this before the show. I said it was called Ringo Livio. What did you say?
Ringolario.
I thought it was Ringo Livio. Ronald backs me up. Oh. Ronald agrees that it was Ring Alivio. So
we'll have to get people.
We'll have to hear some
email
more input on that. But yeah, we do love to get your emails. It's positivemind@wbai.org or Kevin@thepositivemind.com.
Yeah, but please tell us it's Ring Alario.
I think it's Ring Alivio, Kevin.
Okay,
that's just me.
All right. Well, he confirmed that for you. We love getting calls from Ronald,
yeah,
but he's right.
Good to hear from you, Ronald. Thank you again.
The skills that you have, or not even have, the skills that you don't even have, that you can generate and develop while you're playing. I was going to ask him what he's doing nowadays himself, because he has a way to stay buoyant in his life. You can hear it. Ronald is a guy who keeps himself, sharp and keeps himself alive and buoyant and happy. And we know he had good parents. Last time we had him on, he mentioned, I had great parents, so he's very convincing, and we love hearing from you, Ronald. So, but I mean, also skills that you don't have. I mean, that's the great thing about play. You don't have to be skilled necessarily. You're just finding out what to do as you go. And so games without rules, a lot of, like Ben, we were talking about building a sandcastle or building a snowman or things.
Sure.
Things that, get created as you're going. In the process, you're involved in the process. And I was talking a little bit about extrinsic goals versus intrinsic goals. So if you say to a child, in third, fourth, fifth grade, he has to start worrying about college and, he has to start doing better in school because he won't get into a good college. Well, first of all, could be creating an anxious child. But secondly, you're basically saying to the child, don't worry about now, worry about the future. And so you lure this extrinsic goal over them as opposed to intrinsic goals where you're just doing something and enjoying it for the sake. I mean, if you're playing a musical instrument, for example, you're not trying to be a concert pianist. You're just enjoying the process of playing, and that's an intrinsic-oriented activity. And this is the kind of play that we want to encourage children to get involved.
What do you think the mental health implications of intrinsic versus extrinsic goals are?
Well,
is it more fulfilling and more satisfying to attain an intrinsic goal, or how does that work?
Well, I think it's a great balance. Far too many people are extrinsic goal oriented. The problem with that is that it's often the distance. Some people want to make a lot of money. I mean, one of those statistics, like in the 60s, that was only 45% of college students were worried about making a lot of money. Now it's up to 78%. Answer yes, as opposed to I want to have a meaningful approach to life, which, in the 60s was up to, I think, 73%, and now it's down to 42% are concerned about that. So I think what's replaced it is a sense of going to work so that I can retire in 20 years. And the ramifications of that, I think, probably are compromised physical health, but also, and more importantly, mental health, because you're postponing any kind of real enjoyment. And the danger of this extrinsic goal-oriented lifestyle is that you're not experiencing life in the present. And then by the time you achieve your goal, you don't really have a lot to connect with people about because you've been living isolated, pursuing this goal. And the people that you do connect with are people who pursued the same goal as you anyway. So there's a total absence of diversity, and diversity is good for the brain and good for the mind. And when you're extrinsically goal-oriented, you're only attracted to people who are pursuing the same extrinsic goals.
I think we might have time for one last caller today. I know we have a lot of people who called in, a lot of people on hold, and thank you for everyone for calling in. Unfortunately, we can't always get to every phone call.
I like this format.
Let us just quickly, real quickly, take Joe on the line, wants to talk a little bit about play and electronic devices. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah. How are you doing, man?
Good.
Oh, yes. But you know what I'm saying? Such a great topic you guys bring up, and you're actually just scratching the surface of it. Now, talking about the connection between these electronic devices and play, it brings up many different points. For example, when these devices first came out, they would start to tell you that how using electronic games, how it enhances the brains, and the kids, their math skills improve, mm-hmm. and their reading skills improve, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
To get them to sell it, right? To get them people to buy it.
Exactly.
Parents buy into this. And then when parents buy into this now, their kids now, what happens now? Just as you were saying, you don't see kids out in the kids in the street playing no more. Because why? Parents think that by providing my kid with this electronic device, his math scores, his reading scores, his writing, everything would go up. Only to realize on the flip side of it that what it is doing now.
Yeah.
That's a great harm it is bringing to these kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish you guys could make this actually a series, three or more programs, because there is a whole lot I have to add to this, but now I realize the time is winding down, so it does not permit me to actually bring forth to the table all the different issues that I would like to present.
So, Joe, you know what? We actually do want to explore this further, and we'd love for you to keep tuning in and certainly participate, you know, if and when we do continue this discussion.
And Joe, I want you to send me your ideas at kevin@thepositivemind.com, because I agree. I think we could make a series out of this. I think play is just undervalued in our culture in general, and it's dangerous that it's so undervalued. Do you agree?
Yeah, of course. And you know, just imagine, you see these kids, another thing, but these, while they try to make you believe that it would enhance your math scores and your ELA scores and all this stuff, brother, when you look at most of these electronic games, they all have a war element in it.
Yes.
Something about violence.
Yes, you know, that's another point.
We complain about the increase of violence, and then you guys started to give some hard statistics about depression, about suicidal tendencies and all this stuff in young kids. You understand?
We're going to look into it, Joe, but we are right up against the break. I want to thank you again for calling in and participating today, and do send us an email, okay?
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, my brother.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Take
Call
care.
Us again. Yeah, he makes a lot of good points. It's
so
true.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in today, and remember, you can always contact us at positivemind@wbai.org. Or here at the Positive Mind Center, our number off the air is 212-757-4488. We'll be back same place, same time tomorrow at 1 p.m. right here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Take care.